secret surprise talks in Beijing point to a calming of US-China tensions. It's where we're going to start, the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Will Bain with you again today. Great to have your company as always. Yes, in the past couple of hours, the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and China's President Xi Jinping have met in Beijing. President Xi told Mr. Blinken that China and the US should be partners, not rivals, and avoid engaging in vicious competition. This was the Secretary of State speaking just before that meeting.
Moving forward on the agenda that our president set requires active diplomacy. And there's no substitute, in our judgment, for face-to-face diplomacy in order to try to move forward, but also to make sure that we're as clear as possible about the areas where we have differences, at the very least, to avoid misunderstandings, to avoid miscalculations. That really is a shared responsibility that we have, not only for our own people, but for people around the world, given the impact that the relationship between our countries has around the world.
Well, I asked the BBC's China correspondent, Stephen McDonnell, whether talks had managed to get beyond geopolitics and on to trade and economics.
So we have had references to economic and trade cooperation, but nothing really specific. However, anyone who follows China-US relations will know that chips, for example, for computers, anything that has a potential military application, AI, these are major stumbling blocks. I don't think we're going to go back to the sort of more glory days in terms of openness, in terms of trade between the two. But the point is, we also don't want them to descend into the worst years as well. And so, all right, they can agree we are going to have problems with TikTok, we are going to have problems with microchips, but what can we agree on? Where can the trade be made to flow more freely? And also the rest of the world can get more of a guide of where this is all going, and companies can make decisions for that matter on whether or not they should invest in each other's countries.
Well, of course, that decision by the US to potentially ban TikTok, Stephen McDonnell referenced there, was part of another bit of the backdrop to these talks. And hours before Mr. Blinken's meeting with President Xi, the Chinese firm behind the app, ByteDance, released its response. They said they have no intention of selling TikTok. The BBC's Surinjana Tiwari has the latest twist in that tale.
US officials have voiced alarm over TikTok's popularity amongst its 170 million American users. They allege that China's government could access user data, or the app could influence Americans. TikTok denies it has or would share US user data with the Chinese government.
That's the BBC's Surinjana Tiwari. Let's check the numbers now. And a mining mega-merger looks off the table for now. As we were telling you yesterday, Australia's BHP Billiton had been looking to buy out London-listed Anglo American, but this morning, Anglo American rejected the more than $30 billion offer, calling it highly unattractive. When the new boss of Japan Airlines was first announced earlier this year, it sent shockwaves across the country because, for the first time in the company's history, it appointed a female president. The BBC's Mariko Oi has caught up with the new boss of Japan Airlines, and she's here to tell us more. Mariko, hi. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Will.
This appointment got a fair bit of attention, it's fair to say.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, personally, I actually got really excited as well because I've actually been covering what's known as Womenomics. It's basically the government's effort to increase the number of female managers in Japan for more than a decade now. And it's been a very slow progress, shall I say. So when this announcement was made, it came as quite a bit of a surprise. And, you know, some of the headlines were quite hilarious, that obviously mentioning the fact that she's the first woman, but also the first former flight attendant. But, you know, some of them went as far as an alien molecule or, you know, mutant, because it's such an unusual appointment for a very well-known Japanese company. So I caught up with her and I basically asked, how does it feel to have all this attention just because of her gender?
I didn't know about an alien molecule. I don't think of myself as the first woman or the first former flight attendant. I want to act as an individual. So I didn't expect to get this much attention.
Her background, that's amazing. So she was a former flight attendant, right?
Yes, she was. So she joined in 1985. You know, that was when Japan had a really, really tragic aviation accident. And as a result, she basically learned about the importance of aviation safety firsthand as a flight attendant. And ever since then, she's been climbing up the corporate ladder. But, you know, she herself admitted that she never thought that she would ever become the big boss.
Amazing. That real kind of firsthand on the ground experience, isn't it? We don't hear that from many leaders, full stop. stop in corporations all around the world. But how has her appointment been received in Japan? Do you think it signals that kind of changing corporate culture you were mentioning?
I would personally love to think so, but I don't think this means that everyone else is going to start appointing female president left, right, center. It is definitely a signal that something, everyone is now aware that something needs to be done. You know, what's astonishing about Ms. Tottori's appointment is that it was less than 1% of top tier listed companies are led by women. I did ask her what she can bring to the top job, and she did say that she hopes that her appointment would encourage other women to do something that they maybe haven't tried before.
Earlier I said I want to act as an individual, but I realize the public or our employees don't necessarily look at me like that. But my appointment proves JAL's commitment to diversity. And by me being appointed to the top job, I hope it would encourage other women to try things that they were afraid of trying.
Clearly could be, hopefully, something of a trailblazer. The BBC's Asia Business reporter, Mariko Oi, thanks so much for telling us that story.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah, a little bit more of that in our podcast too. Thanks so much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.